Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord bless you. It's a wonderful thing for us to know that the Lord is coming soon. And I anticipate that in the meantime, He will bless us as He has blessed us throughout the course of this day with His grace, with His mercy, with His presence, as we attempt to concern ourselves with His word and with His heart. Would you pray with me, please? Father, in Jesus' name, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Lord, we thank you that we have been entrusted with this mission that you've given us, Lord, as we heard this morning, for the glory of God and the souls of men. We thank you, God, that we can be useful in this generation to help somebody. God, would you be with us this afternoon? Would you help us to help someone? Help us, O Jesus, to be merciful, to be gracious, to be kind, to be loving. Help us to reflect your character. Holy Spirit, we need you. We love you so much. We thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians? The first letter to the church at Thessalonica. This is probably the first letter to be written in the New Testament. Some people say Galatians, some people say 1 Thessalonians. But it was written at a time when the church had already begun to suffer great trials, especially here. And Paul is writing to a church that is suffering, a church that is going through a refiner's fire. And he writes in the 5th chapter and the 16th verse, very familiar passage of scripture, but a hard scripture to receive if you are going through a time of suffering, a time of difficulty. It might be one that's easier to receive at the beginning of a struggle, or one that's easier to receive when there seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel. But when it seems like it's going on and on, or when it seems like it's getting deeper and deeper, sometimes this is the hardest word of truth for the Christian person to receive. It almost sounds like mockery after a while. But this is what the Lord says and what He requires. In verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, we read, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good." In verse 18, we have this most important of phrases that simply says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, I want to talk to you this afternoon on the topic, where there is a will, there is a way. Now, what we see happening here is God first making known to us His will, and then secondly, making known to us the way. And it's all in that one phrase, because He says, "This is the will of God." And of course, that is preceded by the statements of the will, rejoice always. Actually, in the original text, you will find that the adverb comes before the verb. So it doesn't simply say rejoice always. It says always rejoice. So the emphasis is on that term always. Always rejoice. It does the same thing when it says pray without ceasing. It says in that same way, always pray. So always rejoice, always pray, always give thanks. Basically, the statement is not that we should be praying 24/7 and so on and so forth, although I like to think that we should be on some level of communion with God on a regular basis. What it basically means is let there be no circumstance in life where you cannot find a will to pray or a will to rejoice or a will to give thanks. Never let it be said then that, yes, Lord, under this circumstance, I can give thanks, but under this one, I cannot. Or under this circumstance, I can pray. Under this circumstance, I cannot. First of all, we have to recognize that when you and I go through a difficult time, say we go through a time so difficult that we feel that we can't pray, when we have to acknowledge, I can't pray, I want to suggest to you that's probably the only time in your life when you actually do pray. The truth of the matter is the Bible says that we pray. The Bible says that we don't know how to pray as we ought. The Bible tells us to pray in the Spirit. And it doesn't say pray in the Spirit as opposed to praying in your native tongue. It says pray in the Spirit as opposed to praying in the flesh. So oftentimes I think I can pray. The situation seems okay. The circumstances seem all right. So I feel like I can pray. Usually those times I'm not making any sense to God. Because usually in those times I'm praying in the flesh because things just happen to be going right. Or I just think that I have the strength or the energy of mind or body to pray. It's those times when I come to the conclusion that I can't pray, that the Holy Spirit is actually able now to pray through me. The Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought. So it's the Holy Spirit who prays through us. Oftentimes praying with groanings that cannot be uttered in various or languages or words or terms or phrases. It's something that he does. So my suggestion to you to begin with is oftentimes the best prayers that we will ever pray are those prayers that we feel like we can't pray. Those prayers that we feel like we're not praying. Those times when we say to God, God, I can't pray. When we say, God, I can't pray, sometimes the prayers are coming from the depths of our soul. And we are bearing our heart to God and we're acknowledging our frailty before the Lord and we're acknowledging our weakness before the Lord and we're acknowledging the fact that we don't have the wherewithal in ourselves to do this. That's why we see the scripture saying, this is the will of God. And then it doesn't say, this is the will of God for you. It says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So first he gives us the will. Then he gives us the way. The way is Christ. Christ said of himself, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one does what? Comes to the Father except by me. Yes, that means nobody gets into heaven, but that's not what it ultimately means. It means no one comes to the Father at all, except in Christ Jesus. That means I can't even come to the Father in prayer, except in Christ Jesus. So I never am able to pray. I never have the strength to pray. It is only by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Lord is able to say, always rejoice, always pray, always give thanks. That is to say, let there be no circumstance where you are not willing to allow the Spirit of God to bring you to a place of thanksgiving. A place of rejoicing and a place of prayer. If you and I believe that we can pray on our own, if we are ever at this stage where we don't approach God saying, God, I can't pray, whether the circumstances are great or whether the circumstances are dismal, if we are ever in the presence of God saying, yeah, I can handle this one, I can take this one, we are having some problems. We must always enter into the presence of the Lord saying, God, I cannot pray. I don't have any strength. But it's only those difficult times that bring us to this place of humility. And that reminds us that, no, we can't pray. God never asks us to do anything in our own strength. That's why you recognize that right after he tells us, pray always and give thanks always and rejoice always, he says, this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you. And right under it, you notice it says, and do not quench the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to try to get you and me to rejoice in times of difficulty. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to come to you and that's going to come to me and say, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know you can't pray on your own. I knew it yesterday when things were going okay for you. I knew it yesterday when things were all right and you thought that you could pray. He said, I knew it then and I know it now, but I am here to begin to cause the fire of praise and of rejoicing to manifest himself in you. That's why ultimately what it says is, do not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. As he is trying to ignite praise in us, he says, don't fight me on this. I'm not asking you to do it in your own strength, but I am asking you, don't fight me. As I try to cause you to rejoice, don't fight me. As I try to give you a song of praise, don't ask me for a whole bunch of reasons. Don't ask me to legitimize it or justify it. If the Holy Spirit is causing you to praise in the midst of darkness, in the midst of what seems to be a tunnel without any light at the end of it, in the midst of, as David called it, the shadows and the deep darkness. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Sometimes that's all we need to know. I got a letter not too long ago from a person who had been going through some difficult times and got some really bad news from a doctor and some tragic news, actually. And this person wrote me a letter and basically said that they received a word, and as a result, they chose to give thanks. They chose to live with a spirit of gratitude. My wife and I were so blessed by the letter. My wife had to write back and just say, I don't know if they got the letter yet because she just mailed it a day or two ago, but to just say how blessed we were that they simply made a choice. I know, based upon the news that they received, that they could not do this in their own strength. I know, based upon the news that they received, that they did not have the wherewithal in themselves. The only thing that happens in cases like that is that we come to the conclusion that we don't have it in ourselves. Those are going to be our strongest prayers. Our strongest prayers are going to be in our weakest times. And sometimes when we simply groan in the presence of the Lord, and we lift up that little prayer that says, God, I can't pray. For God, that is like the weight of the universe. Because he hears us saying, Lord, I don't have it in myself. I can't do this. It's too much for me. And sometimes I'm saying to you, those are the most significant prayers ever. I was talking to another friend of mine on Friday night. Same scenario, going through some difficult time, hearing some news from the doctor. And you're talking about somebody who just was like a noonday sun to me. You're talking about somebody who was bearing witness to the goodness of God. I'm not saying this person was leaping and clapping. I mean, they were dealing with some difficult news. But I'm talking about they chose to give glory to God. They chose to bless the Lord. They chose to acknowledge trust in him. I know they could not have done that in their own strength.
I know that was too much. And this was not a person who was living in denial. This was a person who was recognizing the reality of their circumstance, but they were recognizing the reality of God as well. And recognizing the goodness of God and the blessing of God and the mercy of God. This is the Holy Spirit's doing. Rejoice in the Lord always. We heard that a few times today. And again, I say rejoice. So when he says rejoice always and pray always and give thanks always, he says this is something that God is asking you to do in Christ. We can't let that term in Christ just be some sort of parenthetical statement, just a little parentheses around it where it's just kind of, you know, it's just Christian speak. You know, we say in Christ because it sounds holy. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, spiritual garnish. You know what I mean? Like a little bit of parsley on the side, you know, but that's not what it is. You know how it is. Sometimes people will use terms like that. I remember when I was single, you know, and every now and again, I would kind of get interested in this girl, or that girl or whatever the case might be. And, you know, every now and again, she would try to tell me that she likes me, but not that way. You know what I'm saying? So she would say, you know, I love you in the Lord and in Christ, she would say. You know what I mean? It was like the Christian way of saying, just as a friend, you know? And so sometimes we read this statement here, you know, and it says, you know, this is God's will in Christ. And we almost read right over it. And we just see God wants you to do this. But the in Christ is not in some parentheses. That is the essence of the entire statement. You can't do this on your own. But you see Christ, you see his example, and you see his power. The Bible said he was able to rejoice. The Bible says for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And this joy wasn't some giddy happiness. It was a resolution that was given to him by the Holy Spirit, a resolution against despair, where he simply decided he was not going to allow the devil to have his way and convince him that he was supposed to be ashamed. The Bible says that he endured the cross and despised the shame. And sometimes to rejoice is to simply refuse the lie of the devil. We can't do it in our own strength, but in Christ Jesus, we can do all things. And sometimes we simply make a decision. I am not going to let the devil lie to me. You know what I mean? Let the emotions follow later. But sometimes we have got to make a decision, a resolution where we are saying, I will not be overcome with despair. I will not be overcome with despondency. I will not be overcome with disappointment. I will not be overcome with depression. I'm just not going to let this happen. It's not because I choose to clench my fist and grit my teeth. It's because I don't refuse the Holy Spirit. I choose not to quench the Holy Spirit. Again, the Bible says about Jesus that, you know, he was a man who prayed. The Bible says on the same night in which he was betrayed, he prayed. He lifted up his voice to God. And the Bible says that he sang songs on that night. In the middle of this betrayal, in the middle of the darkest night in human history, Jesus chose to rejoice. He chose to sing and he chose to pray. Again, when we say pray without ceasing, we're not saying that every second of your day should be spent in the prayer closet. We're saying there should not be any circumstance in your life where you will not pray. Every circumstance in your life is a circumstance where you cannot pray. The question is, will you pray? That is to say, will you allow the Holy Spirit to bring you to a place that you cannot go on your own? So Jesus chose to pray that night, and the Bible says he chose to give thanks. In the middle of the betrayal, in the middle of death, a sentence of death over his head. And he chose to give thanks. Why? Because whatever Jesus did in his humanity, whatever he did in his mortality, whatever he did during those 33 years of his life, that is to say, he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. He chose not to quench the Spirit. But not only that, Jesus knew what his life meant and how God was ultimately going to work it out. So again, it doesn't just say not to quench the spirit. It says don't despise prophecies. Sometimes it's hard when you're going through something for somebody to come to you and tell you all things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Right? You know what I mean? Sometimes it's the hardest word in the world to receive. But the Bible says don't despise prophecies. If somebody is prophesying over you, telling you how the book ends, telling you how this whole thing ends, telling you it will be all right, telling you that God has everything under control, taking you to the end of the book, taking you to Revelation and showing you that God is victorious and that his church is victorious. I know it's hard to hear sometimes. Like I said, sometimes it's the hardest truth to hear. Sometimes it sounds like mockery. But the Bible says, do not despise the spirit of prophecy. Now, the Bible says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So when the Bible starts to try and tell you and tell me about how Jesus Christ lived and how he died and how he was resurrected and how he was ascended to the right hand and how he's coming again in glory and in power, brother and sister, that so trumps what we happen to be going through personally. But it doesn't feel like it trumps it all the time. So again, we must let the Holy Spirit magnify the reality of Christ in our minds because we can't do it on our own. No preacher can do it for us. No counselor can do it for us. We can't do it in our own prayer closet. We can't do it in our own study. The Holy Spirit must do it. He must minister to us. And he must magnify the Lord in our eyes. That's the spirit of prophecy. So we cannot put out the Spirit's fire and we cannot despise the prophetic utterance that says it's going to be all right. I want to suggest to you sometimes, and this might seem a little cold. I mean, we go through our difficulties, each one. I may not be going through anything today. I may go through something tomorrow. I won't get into this one or that. I'm simply saying sometimes you and I have got to simply settle with a 'cause God said so. Sometimes, hallelujah. Sometimes there doesn't seem to be an answer. And yet God will say, rejoice. And we will say, why, God? And he'll say, because I said so. And sometimes a difficulty will happen in our lives, or we might find ourselves in a hard situation, and God will say, now start to just thank God in this time. Thank God in the midst of this trial. And we'll say, why, God? And he'll say, because I said so. And sometimes we will find ourselves in that place where we acknowledge the fact that in our own strength, we can't pray. So the Holy Spirit will begin to quench, he will begin to start a fire in us. And he'll say, don't quench that fire. He'll say, I want you to begin to pray now. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if it sounds like the kind of prayers that shake heaven and earth. Or I don't care if it's just a few tears that are falling down your face. You know, that's a prayer to God. You know, he sees those tears as a prayer. And sometimes we'll say, why, God? And he'll simply say, because I said so. You see, the spirit of prophecy basically says, because God said it's all going to work out. Yes. Yes. Because God said that it's all going to work together for the good. Yes. Because God said that even if the enemy meant it for evil, God can work it to good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes it finally comes down to that. Now, I've studied a little bit of theology for a little bit of time. All those years and this, that, and the other, sometimes it doesn't mean anything. Sometimes it doesn't mean anything. Sometimes it finally comes down to me simply hearing God say, rejoice just because I said so. Praise my name just because I said so. Believe in my deliverance just because I said so. Receive my grace just because I said so. That's the way it works sometimes. Now, there are going to be some people that's going to tell you that the kingdom, you know what I mean, is based upon a life where there's no struggle, no difficulty, and so on and so forth. Basically, what they're going to prophesy and say is that the day of the Lord has already come. That's what Paul says in this letter. He says, but don't listen to them. Because you notice what he says there. He says, test every spirit. Test everything. Because some people are going to try to prophesy over you, but the prophecies are not going to be the prophecy that says Jesus has everything under control. They're going to say to you that the times which are to come have already come. They're going to say to you that the times where there are no more tears, those times have already come. You just got to believe hard enough. The times where there are no more pains, no more struggles, no more sickness, those times have already come, and you just got to hold on to those things and believe hard enough and claim it by faith and all this. And all. No, those times have not come yet. We're not in heaven yet, brothers and sisters. We're still here. And that means there's going to be some difficulties sometime. So if somebody comes and begins to prophesy like that over you, telling you, well, if you believe hard enough, everything's going to be all right. And, you know, from now on, there won't be any more pain. And if you're still having pain, it's because you're not faith in it hard enough and this, that, and the other. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. The Bible says, you know, test everything and then only retain that which is good. If somebody comes to you and say, yeah, there's going to be some struggles, there's going to be some difficulties, there's going to be some hard times, but God has everything under control. And they prophesy to you and they say something to the effect of the Holy Spirit already knows that you can't pray. You just found it out today. But he knew it. He already knew that you didn't have the strength. He already knew you didn't have the wherewithal. He's not shocked by it. You are. But he's here to help you. He's here to strengthen you. He's here to encourage you. And this is what he's asking. He said, just don't quench the spirit. As he tries to embrace you, don't push him away. As he wants to sit with you and cry with you, don't push that away. Don't so categorize prayer and rejoicing and thanksgiving that unless it feels a certain way, unless it feels like the rafters are shaking and the heavens are being shaken and so on and so forth, you know, if you're not doing that, you're thinking that you're not praying, that's just not the case. You breathe a sigh to God and say, God, I can't pray. Don't you know that's a prayer? And probably one of the best prayers you will ever pray. Because it's the kind of prayer that says, God, I don't have the strength in myself. There's people in this room, I know it. And you feel like, I can't. Of course you can't. You're not supposed to. But God is embracing you now. And he's saying to you, don't push me away. I want to cry with you. I want you to nestle your head on my bosom. And if you can't speak a word, you don't have to. If my little daughter falls asleep in my arms, and she just falls asleep in my arms, you think for a minute I'm going to see that as a lack of communion, a lack of communication, a lack of intimacy, a lack of fellowship, a lack of love? Sometimes that's all you can do. Sometimes all you can do is fall asleep in God's arms. That's all right. That is prayer. That is rejoicing. That is thanksgiving. Say, don't push me away. And when I bring a word to you that says it's going to be all right, give me the benefit of the doubt if I don't explain everything to you. Trust me. And if somebody tries to come alongside you, whether it's the enemy or whether it's another human being, or even if it's your own heart that says, unless I'm doing it this way, I'm not doing it enough, or unless I'm doing it this way, I'm not doing it right, and so on and so forth. He said, no, test everything. Only hold on to what's good. Don't hold on to condemnation. Don't hold on to this thing that says you have to impress God. Don't hold on to this thing that says, you know, all your emotional ducks have got to be in a row before you can really reach out to God. Sometimes you're not going to feel so good.
Rejoicing doesn't mean being happy and being giddy. It means allowing the Holy Spirit to give you a resolution against the lie of the devil, where you endure the cross and you despise the shame. That is to say, you look at the condemnation of the devil and you say, I'm not having any of it. The Holy Spirit is here to embrace you, to love you. The enemy's trying to lie to you. He's trying to hurt you. Trying to hurt you physically. Trying to hurt you emotionally. Trying to hurt your children. Trying to hurt your family. Trying to tell you that you don't have any reason to rejoice. I want you to do something right now. In the spirit, I want you to say to the lie of the devil, I'm going to rejoice because God said so. I don't have to have all the reasons, all the answers right now. Things don't even have to get better. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give thanks because God said so. Now, I'll say this and then we're going to pray together. When God said, let there be light, in the command, there was the grace. In the very statement, there was the power. When God said, let there be light, there was light. Just because God said so. Now here we see God saying, this is the will of God. And then he says, right there, in Christ Jesus, this is the will, this is the way. God's will is that you rejoice in him. Jesus is the way. God's will is that you pray to him. Jesus is the way. God's will is that you give him thanks. Jesus is the way. You and I don't know how to pray as we ought. Jesus is the way. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. Now, there are some people who are going through a difficult time. You're finding it difficult to pray, finding it difficult to give thanks, finding it difficult to rejoice. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him condemn you. God is in the midst to heal you, to strengthen you, to love you. If you just need to fall asleep on his bosom, if you just need to faint, if you will, in his embrace, if you need to weep on his shoulder, brother, sister, he's inviting you now. The only thing he's asking you is don't quench the spirit. Don't push me away, he's saying. If God is speaking to you, would you come to the front of this auditorium? Would you trust God with your heart? And trust us to pray with you and to love you? Because we want to do everything that we can to bring a spirit of praise back into your heart. If God is speaking to you, come to the front. We'll wait for you. We'll pray with you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. God, we bless you tonight. We bless you. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you and to simply acknowledge our weakness, because in our weakness, Lord, we find your strength. Lord, you are strong on our behalf. Lord, especially in those times when we have absolutely nothing to offer and we know it. God, we ask you in Jesus' name to simply embrace us.
Holy Spirit, each one who simply offers you an utterance that simply is beyond words, or who offers you a tear of trust and a tear of brokenness, Lord, who simply wants to nestle his head or her head upon your bosom and to just fall asleep there for a time, Lord, and to just feel at home there. God, would you receive this as the deepest prayer, as the most heartfelt prayer. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, would you teach us how to pray? Would you cause the deep groanings to come forth from us? Would you cause the tears to flow freely? Would you cause the rest, oh Jesus, where we simply are in your presence, sometimes without a word, sometimes without a sound, sometimes without an utterance, sometimes simply there because you want us, Lord, because you call us, because you receive us, and because you said so. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we simply rejoice in you. That is, we refuse to believe any lie of the devil. We endure our cross. We despise any shame. We despise any condemnation. We despise every lie in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We receive you, O God. We enter into your presence and we accomplish your will because you are the way. Lord, your will be accomplished by the way that you have established, by the new and living way by which we enter into the Holy of Holies. God, even as we heard this morning at communion, we enter into that holy place because you are the new and the living way. Not because we have any strength in ourselves, but because you are our strength. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. God, where there is a will, there is a way. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. Lift up your voice and praise him. Lift up your voice and give him glory. Clap your hands and acknowledge his goodness. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, oh God. We bless your holy name because you are worthy to be praised. You are a great and a holy God. We give you glory, not because of any strength in ourselves, but because of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. We love you, oh Jesus. We bless you, oh God. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.